I don't know. Go for it. It's on.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody here, one, for like supporting our youth group and supporting our band, like Mike and Mariah, Larissa, Jessica, and Dustin. Where is he?
And Dave.
And David, yes. Bassists are awesome bassists. And I'd also like to support or like thank my parents and my grandparents for like supporting me and helping me like through the years, like all 4 years, really long 4 years. and so yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, cool.
Here you go. Hannah, come on over here. This girl's got a sweetheart. She does. And she is off to Kenya this summer. She's going to be serving the Lord, going with Front Range Church. Front Range Christian Church. And we want to be supporting her in that effort as well. One of the things I love about Hannah is her genuineness. And she shared an illustration in her 3 Timothy letter that I thought was amazing. She talked about these shoes she had, and somebody said they liked her shoes, and they said, why? They're all scuffed up, they're beat up, but they have character. And isn't that the fact that when you go through life, that's what happens? You get scuffed up, you get beat up sometimes, but you end up with character. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's a great illustration. I was like, you just need to, she's got them on too, so that's awesome. So, but his, you know, just a girl with a great heart and a gentle, quiet spirit, and I love. So I'm going to hand it over to you.
Is it on? Yeah. I just want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you, my friends. All of you guys. And my sister and my brother. And all my other siblings over there and over there. And to my mom and my dad, they've just been a really big support to me these past few years. And then my grandparents, who are right over there. And then all of the friends of everyone, who are like, we took up like 2 rows right there. And then,
awesome. Here. Prizes.
Yay.
Awesome. All right. Mariah, come on over. And that's what I like about Mariah. She doesn't follow everybody's pattern. She kind of sets her own pace. And that's an awesome thing. Really, it is an awesome thing. You be who God created you to be, and you don't have to follow everybody else's. Mariah, God has worked in your life since I've seen you here. One of the things I love about Mariah is I love watching you worship. You don't just lead worship, but you love to worship. And that is something that really has impacted my life, is to you know, I don't focus on the people up here. I focus on the Lord. And you know what? When you're doing that, I can see where your heart is, and it's really been great to see that. I love you, girl.
Hello. I'm going to attempt to use humor so I don't cry. First of all, I would just like to thank my youth group. They're all wonderful, and they have been able to grow and learn and laugh with me and laugh at me. So thank you for that. My sissy poo, thank you for dealing with me through all of my crap. To my parents for loving me through the sass mouth and the swearing. to everybody in these 2 rows, all of you guys have been so nice to me, so just amazing and wonderfully accepting. Even when I was headed down a dark path, you know, you guys were always there for me, and you guys were always a prayer support, and just, I knew I could go to you guys if I needed you. So thank you for that. Now I'm gonna cry. We're gonna be okay. thank you, Bill, for raising us as your own. It's been great having you be able to teach us and, you know, get to know you. It's been great. Roro, over there, shout out to you. You've been my mentor and my friend, and I'm totally happy that I got to know and love you and tell you all my secrets, and now you know everything about everybody, and it's completely amazing. Rose has just been great to all of us ladies here in Legacy, and I feel like you don't get recognized enough. You are the top dog. and thank you to the church for, you know, letting me worship with you guys, letting me sing and squeak and shout and all sorts of fun stuff. It's been amazing getting to go from singing to worshiping. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'll tell you. Clay. This is Clay Peters. And Clay came to know the Lord while over the last couple of years. Well, you were a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
And since then, God has used him to lead four of his friends to Christ, which is amazing. And Clay, what I love about him is it's what you see is what you get. Okay?
Yeah.
And it is. It's true. So thank you, Clay, man. I love you, buddy. Oh, what's going to kill me?
Yeah. Don't want to kill you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm Clay. Hi, Joseph. So I want to thank my parents because they've put up with a lot. Like, best parents ever. And I want to thank my sister, Larissa, for all those deep talks in the car. And the whole youth group for supporting me and being there when I need you. And the church community for praying for me. And yeah.
Awesome. I'll trade you.
Thanks.
Jared. I got to tell you, Jared was one of the first students I met when I come on my interview. And I'll have to say this. A lot of these students were connected to Jared's reaching out. That's awesome. And Jared is a great friend. We heard that in Gavin's message. Great friend through tough times when people are going through that never gives up on them. And that's a great quality to have. I love you, man.
I guess first off, I'd like to apologize. I know it's not too ethical to wear hats at church, but I had some pretty wicked bedhead. So I'd like to thank my parents, especially, probably the most, because they've been there with me ever since I was like, well, I was born, but they've put up with all of my crap and all of my messiness, and I'm so thankful that I have great and loving parents like that. Also my sisters, they've been a huge role model in my life. Too bad they aren't here, but I love them so much, and you know, if they could see me now, that'd be amazing. I also really want to thank, I don't want to nitpick, but Micah, David, and Dylan, you guys have been there for me through thick and thin, through everything. That it's been a journey, and I love you guys. And lastly, I really want to thank Bill. You have helped strengthen me in my walk with God, and overall, I just think that you've made me a better person, so I couldn't ask for a better youth pastor.
Becca, is Becca here? I don't think Becca's here. Becca's another one of the students tied to these students who is a part of our ministry. She was a believer, but just a great, gentle spirit that came in and loves being a part of Legacy, and we love her. Lindsay, I don't think Lindsay's here, is she? Lindsay's another one of those girls who I think it was only since the Dare to Share conference that I started meeting. She started coming fairly regular then. Another reaching out of our students who've reached out to her and loved having her being a part of our ministry as well. Lyndon, is Lyndon here? Yes. Lyndon is the most athletic among all of us. And you don't want to play any kind of sport against this guy because you're going to lose. but more than that, Lyndon has a great heart. He does. He's been serving the Lord. Last summer, where did you go last summer?
Haiti.
Haiti. This summer?
Scotland.
He's been going with his church, serving in ministry there. Part of Kyle's group over at Plum Creek. Just love having Lyndon be here. Again, another friend of Jared in the group here. Excited to have him part of our ministry as well. And so I love you, man, and tell us what's happening.
Well, Is it?
Okay. I'd also like to apologize for being late. My boss decided to schedule a mandatory meeting from 8:30 to 10, so that was great.
You made it, though.
Yeah, it's all that matters. But I'd like to start off by thanking my mom and dad. They've been through everything with me. Well, my mom has. My dad came into the picture, he adopted me, and I'm very grateful for that. I also like to thank all of you for just not being just my friends, but also my secondary family. Great knowing you.
That's awesome. Cool, let me get you. Here.
David, come up here. This is David, and a cheerful heart is good medicine. And that's David. And seriously, he brings joy and laughter and enthusiasm to our student ministry. He just does. And he's got a great heart. And when he says he wants to check on people, he does. And he cares for people. And love, again, another friend of Jared and the whole group that came, but reached out to him and found Legacy to be a place where this is where he felt like he belonged. So I love you, man.
Hi. I'm David.
Hi, David.
So I totally forgot that we were talking today, so yeah. I would first like to thank Bill. He's made such an impact in my life. Like, seriously, I don't know how to express how much of an impact he has in my life. I'd also like to specifically thank Jared and Micah, because they reached out to me and brought me to this ministry, and it literally has been the best thing to ever happen to me. All you guys have literally just made this a home for me, and I'm not saying I don't have a home with my parents, because I like to live in a home. That's always good. But,
see what I say?
Baylor, you guys have all just really embraced everyone who has came here and made a difference in every one of these students' lives. I'd also like to thank my parents, not only for giving me life, because that's a pretty big thing in my life, but I'd like to thank them for always being there for me and just always pushing me, because I'm kind of a slacker. Yeah, but they always pushed me and made me do well. They're like, go, do this. I'm like, nah, but yeah, all right. And then I'd also like to pinpoint the Hubers and the Padburys just for their impact on the youth ministry. They've done some pretty amazing things. And with that, sayonara, yeah. Sweet.
Dylan Sundin, come on up here. This is Dylan. I actually met Dylan through Michaela a couple summers ago, and Dylan has been a great part of our student ministry. In some ways, he's like my Christian J.J. Watt friend here, okay? I don't know if J.J. Watt's a believer or not. Anyway, but one of the scenes was I was at the CVDC game, and since, you know, my daughter goes to CV, I'm on CV's side, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, who is it that keeps killing our backs as they come out, you know? It's Dylan. and I'm like, wait, you know, I'm like, yeah. Yes, go Dylan. I don't know what to say. You know, it was awesome. But he's got a heart for the Lord, and that's what I really love most about him. He's a man after my own heart in some senses, because he wants to be a youth pastor. And so I'm excited for him and what God's got ahead of you. And, you know, God's been using him in FCA at his own school, and God's going to continue to use him in Missouri, so I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank the Lord, just because of everything he's done for me. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. And then I want to thank my parents for everything you've done. I love you guys, and I want to thank you for giving me the knowledge and the skill set to be successful in life and live a life that God's called me to. So I want to thank you, Mr. Bill, for being the mentor and the leader you have in my life. So I greatly appreciate it.
Love you. Chelsea, come on up here, Chelsea. This is Chelsea Taylor, and gotten to know her about a year ago, fully, I guess, something like that, I don't know. Chelsea brought to our student ministry a real maturity and a walk with the Lord. Started coming here by herself to church, started coming to student ministry by herself, and obviously knew some of the friends that were here as well. But her walk with the Lord is what really has been impressed to me. She has a genuine love for the Lord and a walk with the Lord. And she also brings very much an encouragement to our other students in our ministry. And so it's been great to have you be a part of our ministry. We love you, girl.
Okay. I might cry, just FYI.
That's all right.
I'm already starting. I want to thank my mom. She's my hero. She's with me through everything. I wouldn't be who I am without her. So thank you. Thank you to all of you guys. Thank you, Pastor Harlan. You've been such a positive impact in not only my life, but my family's life, and I couldn't thank you enough for that. Thank you, you guys. You guys are my second family, and I don't know, I wouldn't be where I am without all you guys. Thank you, Rosa. I've been able to talk to you so much these, you know, past couple of months about stuff. Thank you for always being there for me. Thank you, Mr. Bill. You've helped me so much, like, develop my relationship with the Lord. I wouldn't be who I am today without you. And thank you so much. And I want to thank the Lord because he's my number one. And sometimes it's hard to keep him there, but I know that it's always worth it. And I told you I'd get emotional, but whatever. And it's all the Lord, all the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's the reason why I'm here. And he's so amazing. And he's blessed me beyond belief. And thank you, everyone here, for just being my rock and my second family.
All right. Marina, is Marina Toby here? I don't think so. Marina's a graduate of Rock Canyon High School, played on the soccer team, is heading to School of Mines to go to school, and her family's been involved in the church long before I've been around, and we just love her as well. Nikolai, I don't think Nikolai's here. Nikolai, just a great young man who also is a part of our ministry. Dylan Underwood. I actually met Dylan on my interview week here because Jared took me, he says, hey, Jared calls me up and says, hey, you want to play basketball? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, let's do this. So I went over to Butterfield, played basketball with Jared, and Dylan was there. And I don't think Dylan knew who the heck I was. That's okay. But it's been great to be able to reconnect when I got back in town and to see God work in your life. God's done some pretty awesome things. Dylan is, again, another one of those encouragers in our student ministry. Reaches out and encourages others in great ways. And so we're thankful for you, man. I'm going to give you this. I get the hug.
I was going to try not to cry earlier, but I already started earlier, so that's out of the question. But I don't know where to start. I want to thank everyone, first off. Everyone that supported me, everyone. I know, I think an announcement a while ago, but my mom was going through a lot. You know, she was in the hospital, in and out for a while, didn't know what was going to happen. But I know you guys knew about that and were praying for you, so I want to thank you very much for that. Specifically want to thank Jared for inviting me a while ago. I was in a relationship, I don't even know when, but I don't really talk about it very much, we'll say that, but she kind of drew me away from the Lord, and I just stopped coming to youth group, and wasn't really going to church. So that really set me back a lot. But then after that, you know, I realized that, you know, I need to be here no matter what, you know. No one should influence what I want to do, you know, what I want to accomplish, and that's, you know, serving God. This year, overall, this year has been pretty rough. You know, I've just kept going back to God, and he's helped me a lot. I almost was close to not graduating at all, but I know I've told a lot of these guys about what's been going on, and they've helped me through everything. I want to thank you guys. Love you guys.
All right. And then we had one more. And Caleb, I don't think Caleb's here, is he? Okay. Caleb's, again, another part of our student ministry, came to know through friends and came to be a part of this. Here's what I need us to do, because you've been sitting a while. Stand up, if you would, for me. Yeah. Guys, come on down this direction a little bit. Keep on coming, keep on coming. We got photographers that want to get a picture here. So anyway. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you put your hands out, and we're going to pray for these students. Does that sound all right? Father, I'm so thankful for each of these students, and even the ones who couldn't be here this morning. God, thank you for their work, your work in their lives. Thank you for all you're doing. God, they're heading all kinds of places, and they need your guidance. They're going to meet all kinds of people, and they need your discernment. They're going to have to make all kinds of choices, and they need to know that your Holy Spirit is going to help them through that. God, I'm excited for this class of 2015. I'm excited for what you have ahead of them in their future. I want to thank you, Lord, for using them in the past and using them right now. Father, we love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Random.
So, I just want to say a huge thank you to Mr. Bill. He's made such a positive impact on all of our lives. And he is just so amazing. And I don't know, there's no words I can describe how awesome he is. So,
that's true.
You guys rock. That's awesome. All right, thank you. Thank you so much. You guys can have a seat now. I'm going to set this over here. Awesome. All right. Well, it's already late and I got a message. All right. So what I want you to do is one of the first studies I did when I got with these students was a book from a book called Not a Fan. And it was a really good book. If you're in this book, it's okay to read other books. But if you're not in this book, then you don't have any filter to determine truth and what is human in other books. And so, but it was a really good book, and so I might refer to that a little bit today. But I want to begin by giving a prescription for eternal success. And I want to do that by going to a doctor. That's where you go for a prescription, is it? To a doctor, right? So one of my favorite doctors I'd like to read to you from. Okay, Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Okay, so congratulations, today's your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you don't know, and you know what you know, and you are the one who will decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen, and frequently do, to brainy people as footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along, you'll start happening too. And oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers with soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. You'll fly. You'll be the very best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest. Except when you don't. because sometimes you won't. It's sorry to say so, but sadly it's true, that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on, and you'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare stay out? Do you dare go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right? Or right in 3/4? Or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. You can start to get so confused that you'll start in a race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdest wild space, headed, I fear, to the most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting for a train to go, a bus to come, a plane to go, a mail to come, rain to go, phone to ring, snow to snow, or waiting for a yes or no, or waiting for the hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, perhaps their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or bread or break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig of curls, or another chance. Everyone's just waiting. No, this is not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying, and find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, because you're that kind of guy or girl. Oh, the places you'll go, there's fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame, you'll be famous, as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too, games you can't win because you'll play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll beat quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you half out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go through hack-hackens howl, onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far, and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go, so be sure when you step, you step with great care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never be dexterous or deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And you will succeed, yes, you will indeed, 98.75% guaranteed. You'll move mountains. So be your name Buxom or Bixie or Bray, or Mordecai Alley Van Allen O'Shea. Off to the great places, today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. That's some good advice from a doctor, isn't it? We'll set that here. Well, you know, life is filled with both awesomeness and adventure, as well as curves and challenges. And, you know, how we do during those times has everything to do with who we are and who we know. And so I want to go to a second doctor this morning, Dr. Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have your phone, you can just go Luke 14. However you want to do that, Luke chapter 14. I'd like us to look at advice and a prescription from another doctor. Seems like throughout the Bible, you can find times where Jesus is trying to have a DTR with his people. Now, DTR means defining the relationship. I remember a couple of times the students have come to me and said, man, you know, I gave this girl a kiss and now she thinks I love her and I'm going to be with her forever. And I'm going, that's because that's what they think. And then maybe you think you need to have a DTR. And he said, what is that? I said, define the relationship. You need to define that relationship. And so we see that happening with Jesus all the time in Scripture. He's constantly saying, where are we at with our hearts? He's constantly wanting to define our relationship. And so in Luke chapter 14 is one of those times, okay? So up to this time, the word is spread about this amazing teacher named Jesus, who's been able to make the lame walk, the blind to see. He's raised people from the dead. He's fed thousands of people with just a few loaves of fish and bread. And so these huge crowds began to follow him. And I imagine it probably did look very similar to like a bunch of people in a stadium of fans. Except Jesus was never really that concerned about the numbers as much as he was about hearts. And that's where we come to in this passage today. And so he wants to define their relationship. He's about to have that DTR with a big crowd. Okay? He's had it many times with his disciples, but now he's about to have it with a big crowd. Beginning in verse 25, he says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Well, obviously Jesus didn't take the class on how to win friends and influence neighbors. Okay? This is not necessarily a seeker-friendly speech to this crowd. But he says it because he wants to define the relationship. Where are they at? Okay? Now, we just got done celebrating Mother's Day. Now, is Jesus really saying you got to hate your mama? Okay? Because those are fighting words, all right? I mean, don't tell me I got to hate my mama. That's not good. All right? That's certainly not what Jesus meant, because throughout Scripture, he tells us to love one another. Jesus' message is love. So what does he mean, like you got to hate your mom and dad? Well, I think part of it has to do with our understanding of translations and stuff. In the NLT, it's translated this way. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Also, in the English Contemporary English Version, it says, you must love me more. The picture here is that Jesus is saying, you know what? Your love to me ought to look like hatred to others because you're so devoted to me. Here's the big issue. Jesus doesn't want to be our one of many. He wants to be our one and only. Did you catch that? And that's what he's trying to get people to define right now. He's saying, am I all you've got? Am I your one and only? Or am I just one of many? God, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. And he doesn't want to share that with anyone else. And so, he wants to be our one and only. And so he says, count the cost before you make that decision. Count the cost. And so he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one who is coming with 20,000? If he is not, he will send a delegation while the others are still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. You know, when I was a groundskeeper in Iowa, there was this house that was built on this corner, but it was never finished. And we would go by that thing, and it was just never finished. They never put the siding on. It was there. And this went on for like 10 years. And everybody in the area knew about that house. And they thought, what is the problem there, right? Because you shouldn't do that. 10 years, I mean, it's a difference if it's a few months. But 10 years later, still sitting there the same way. And it becomes a ruined house because the weeds grow, the animals get in, all that kind of stuff, because nobody's caring for it. Nobody thought through it. And so it was an embarrassment, okay? It's kind of like our VA hospital. Oh, we won't go there. We won't go there. Anyways, count the cost. And Jesus is saying the same, right? He's saying, you know, I want to be your one and only. But think about it. Count the cost. Count the cost. I'm going to give an example. My wife's going to love this one. When I first started down in Katy, Texas as a youth pastor, I met this girl named Jean, who was amazing, and we had maybe one or two dates. And then this girl that I'd seen a couple times in Colorado wanted to come see me. I was really more her counselor, because all we ever did talk about was her and the boyfriend she broke up with, and how she couldn't make it without him. And I'm thinking, wow, I'd like to be your boyfriend, but apparently that's not going to happen. But she calls me up and says, hey, I'd like to see this thing work out. And I said, well, I'm down here in Texas. You're going to have to move down here. You can come down and see me. So she came down and see me. And I took her to church, and I sat next to Jean with her, and I wasn't thinking it was a big deal. But apparently, I'm an idiot. And I am. Yeah, just write this one down. Boys are dumb, girls are mean. That's just, it's just how life goes. Anyway, and I'm dumb, okay? So, and she sits with me, and afterwards, Jean was not really happy with me. And I couldn't figure out why not? She just wanted to come down and see me, and I don't think it's going to work. Well, here's the deal, because Jean didn't want to be the one of many. She wanted to be my one and only. I mean, guys, you think about this. You pull out your wife goes through your girlfriend goes through your wallet and pulls out your picture of them in your wallet, and they're just like, it's wonderful. But what if behind that picture you had all the former girlfriends you had behind that picture? Can I just say it's not going to go well for you, okay? Okay, because she's not your one of, she doesn't want to be the one of many. She wants to be the one and only. And that's the picture here. Jesus is saying, am I your one and only? Or am I just another one on the list? Am I just another one? You got to count the cost, okay? And then I'll just refer to what that book I talked about, Not a Fan, was about a book about being a fan or a follower. And let me read you a quote here that I thought was great from that book. He says about the fan, who's an enthusiastic admirer. He says, it's the guy who goes to the football game with no shirt and a painted chest. He sits in the stands and cheers for his team. He got a signed jersey hanging on his wall at home and a bumper stickers all over the back of his car. But he's never in the game. He never breaks a sweat or takes a hard hit in the open field. He knows all about the players and can rattle off all their latest stats, but he doesn't know the players. He yells and cheers, but nothing is really required of him. There's no sacrifice he has to make. And the truth is, as excited as he seems, if the team he's cheering for starts to let him down and has a few off seasons, his passion will wane pretty quickly. After several long losing seasons, you can expect him to jump off the fan wagon and begin cheering some other team. He's an enthusiastic admirer. And so the idea there was, there's a big difference between fans of Jesus and followers of Jesus. And if you're going to have an eternal impact in life, you need to be the follower. Does that make sense? Fans, there's no cost, but following Jesus is a cost. And so, he says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for soil nor for manure pile. It is thrown out. And then he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Again, salt is good. If somebody tells you salt's bad, all those people saying salt's bad for you, it's a lie. Jesus said it was good. Now, overabundance of anything is bad, but salt wouldn't be good. If Jesus said it was good, it's not. If somebody tells you it's bad, that's a lie. Doing Doritos has made me the man I am today. So, anyway, salt, Jesus being the one and only. And if it's not salt, then it's worthless. It's like fans, they're in the stands. There's little or no cost. And Jesus is their one of many. And Jesus at the end, he just says, listen up. If you have ears to hear, listen up. But I just told you, you really need to take to heart. And so, I want to end as our fuel team is coming back up. You guys can come up and get ready for our last song. I want to just talk about us having a little DTR with Jesus, okay? A little defining of the relationship, okay? So let me give you kind of four questions that are just to think about. For what do we sacrifice our time, our money, our resources, our talents, our gifts? Okay, what do we sacrifice those things? Again, where our treasure is, what our heart will be also. It will reveal where we're at. What do we sacrifice things for? You know, I do love Mountain Dew, but I hope that's not what all people remember me as when I die. Okay? I hope they've seen Jesus in me. Okay? So what do we sacrifice for? Secondly, when we're hurt, where do we go for comfort? Do we go to food? Do we pour ourselves into our work, our friends, the internet? None of these are necessarily bad in themselves. But I tell you what it'll do. It will reveal the passions of our heart. Who we go to for comfort when we're hurt. It reveals our heart's true devotion. In his book, Kyle Eidman says this, pain creates honest moments where our true affections are revealed. Does that make sense? Pain creates moments where our true affections are revealed. And so when we experience pain, who do we go to? And are they replacing Jesus? Yes, friends are great during that time, and we want to do that. But if we don't first go to Jesus, and he's not our strength, because you know what? Your friends are sometimes not going to be there, but Jesus always is, right? And if you're going to have an eternal impact in life with those you're around, that's got to be your resource. That's got to be your anchor during the storms. And then, what disappoints or frustrates me? These are getting too real here. Again, sometimes the things that disappoint and frustrate us can reveal that maybe something's too important to us. And then finally, what is it that really gets us excited? What is it that really gets us excited? What is it that motivates us and really moves? You know, are any of those things in competition with Jesus? In just some things I wrote down here, following Jesus won't mean following him perfectly. I think you will fail, and sometimes we'll play the role of that fan, won't we? I know I have. I've done that. But following Jesus may mean following him alone. You know, there's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, no turning back. Switchfoot puts it this way, you and I were meant to live for so much more. And Lecrae says, don't waste your life. So I think I covered all the bases of generations here. And so, okay? Jesus won't share you and I with another lover. Okay? And I know some of you in here have experienced the pain of unfaithfulness. Someone who promised themselves to you has been unfaithful and has found someone else. Maybe it's a boyfriend or girlfriend that now they've found someone else. And intimate times have been shared with somebody other than you. And I understand that. And I'm sorry for that. But can I say, too, that that's exactly how Jesus feels, the betrayed lover, when we give our hearts and our passions to other things. He loves us so, so much. And our lives are meant to be this thank you letter back to him because of his amazing love, right? And that's what he wants. But he is a jealous God. We're going to sing that, and then I'll come up and I'll close this. Why don't you go ahead and stand and we'll sing.